We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you, Anthony, for joining us. First time officially during the year, so Happy New Year.
Exactly. You want to know how excited I am for the NBA season? I'm on the way to Blazers-Kings tonight, the start of the Mike Brown era in Sacramento.
Somebody just said we need a piece on Mike Brown to round out this Warriors coverage. Are you going of your own volition, or is this an assignment?
He's so disgusted with himself, he threw his phone out the
window. He's like, what am I doing? I'm driving up 80 to Sacramento? What am I doing?
Kings have broken them. Somebody's else's spirit, and they haven't even tipped it off yet.
Get Anthony Slater back as soon as possible, obviously, to talk about
hit that Vacaville dead spot.
There is a dead spot going up there. It's amazing. Like, we literally invented, like, all this technology in the Bay Area. We got dead spots. I can't believe when you're driving down by Sand Hill Road, there's a dead spot. It's like, isn't this where all technology is? Anyway, Anthony Slater going to Sacramento. I think we've already said enough. Let's just go right to the Warriors since we can't goof around with our already time robbed of you. The Warriors were as good as the Lakers were as bad last night. I mean, and they weren't even really... Here's the thing. I don't even know if that's true because the Warriors can be a lot better than that. I don't know if the Lakers can be much better than that.
Well, where I like agree with you on like the mirrored images or whatever opposite images is like the depth, right? I mean, like you just saw where the Lakers just were empty 3 through 15 last night, where on the other side you saw how loaded the Warriors feel 3 through 11 at this point. I mean, Moses Moody, who I know you love, Dame, in like 6 minutes, because and it didn't feel like, you know, last year there was times like, hey, maybe Damian Lee, you can get him in over Damian Lee. Last night it's like, I'm not sure, like, Dante DiVincenzo is fine out there. Everybody ahead of Moses Moody's fine, but you're also like, you know, Moses Moody's got a fine minute.
How easy, though, as this season goes on and they have to start pushing into February, March, April, are those minutes going to be? Because at some point, you do have to shorten your bench. So I guess what I'm asking is, are the minutes these guys going to get now going to be designed to see who Steve Kerr can trust when the games really matter?
Yeah, I think that's more aiming towards playoffs. And, you know, they really do care about, like, five-man combinations, even, like, three-man. You know, they look at the numbers. Kenny Atkinson, I know, is big into that. But, you know, if we're talking January, March, like, look, Clay, I doubt, plays many back-to-backs, if any back-to-backs this season. I assume Draymond will miss a patch of games. Steph will miss a patch of games. Like, injuries come, guys, you know, tweak a hammy, stuff like that. So, I mean, in general, I think there's going to be plenty of minutes to go around all regular season. But what they have to find out is when it comes time to it, and if everybody is healthy and they're facing, you know, the Mavericks in the first round, he's got to kind of play nine guys. And who are those nine guys?
Do you think anything makes Steve Kerr happier than watching Kevon Looney lead the team in plus-minus?
No, I mean, his entire career is what makes Steve Kerr the happiest. Like, I think he might enjoy Kevon's career more than his own career. But also, like, he's kind of become justified. Like, Kevon Looney's just gotten better and better. And, like, beyond just, like, you know, it used to be, like, you guys don't see the little things he does while we were calling for people to replace Kevon Looney. Now, like, I do see all the little things. And he does even, you know, big things, too. I mean, Kevon Looney's, like, legitimately become a really good starting center in the NBA.
In what way, what was the thing that turned him to what he is right now, as opposed to, say, last year or the year before, when sometimes Kerr, even though we'd start him, had a quick hook? I get the sense that Kerr is now sort of pot committed to him in ways that even he wasn't last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's committed as like a, to him as a starter, but you saw it last night. Like, Jordan Poole closed the first half. Like, I think there's going to be plenty of times this season where Kevon Looney's not closing, because that Poole three-guard lineup can be really explosive against, like, not the elitist of teams. But what changed for Kevon Looney, number one, is health, right? I mean, 2 years ago, he went through the year from hell where it was neuropathy, and that led to a hamstring injury. He had, like, core issues where he could barely move. He had to have core surgery. I remember times where I'd have to – he wouldn't start the game, and, like, 5 minutes before he'd come in the game, I'd see the training staff go over to him and be like, hey, you're going to come in about 5 minutes. Go be doing calisthenic type stuff to warm up his body. It was just in such a place. It's now in a very sturdy place. I mean, you know, his game streak's at least at, what, 105 games now since he played. And also, you know, I do think Dejan Milojevic, the big man coach who was really hired to help James Wiseman, helped Kevon Looney last year when he couldn't really help James Wiseman. And Kevon's talked about him just kind of unlocking parts of his game, particularly from the rebounding and angle side of it. And it's all led to a guy who I think is kind of really underpaid at this point.
No one is going to pull their hair out more talking with media about player minutes than Steve Kerr this year. I mean, look at where we are. We've played one game and we're already analyzing minutes and, you know, how many minutes will Dante DiVincenzo and Jamichael Green end up taking away from players that you're trying to develop and so on and so forth. But 11 guys got in the game last night. I was surprised that Ryan Rollins was in there before Patrick Baldwin Jr. Did Patrick Baldwin Jr. have a setback or any sort of, you know, physical reason why he didn't hit the court at all last night?
Yeah, right thumb sprain. It's a minor. He was actually active, but even before the game, he was never going to be part of the rotation. And the word was he was in a jersey, but he wasn't going to be able to play. So when Rollins came in, typically Baldwin would have, right? That was blowout time. But little thumb sprain, nothing too bad.
That's good. Obviously, we're all kind of sick of talking about Draymond Green, as great as he is for content. He gave us a little more last night with his, you know, aren't we best friends, huddle up in the corner with LeBron James, that had the Warriors bench looking at him in ways I don't think a Warriors bench has ever looked at Draymond Green. I mean, I don't want to keep trying to, you know, guesstimate. Is he losing the room? I think I saw it on guys' faces that he's losing the room a little bit last night.
Yeah, I mean, you can just look at how this aftermath of the Jordan Poole punch has gone. This is not a divided locker room where, you know, half the locker room is mumbling either behind the scenes or in front of the cameras that they felt there was some justification for the situation, or, you know, hey, you know, this happens in locker rooms, brothers are brothers. There's not a lot of that. It's mostly like Draymond was very wrong. You know, Jordan Poole was the one who's been wrong. We're on Jordan Poole's side of this. Draymond Green must earn trust back. And Draymond Green kind of pushed back at the idea of, well, at least at the word trust. I'm sure you guys heard that press conference. I believe it was the second one since he's returned. And there's iciness. I mean, there's no way around it. It's pretty obvious. And at this point, I'm not saying it can't change. And Draymond Green's belief, I would assume, is that his play will change the situation. But at this point, he feels a little bit isolated in the locker room. And I guess that was part of him coming back, is they were going to isolate him for however long until they felt the situation changed. But that's certainly 2 weeks in, or however long it's been. It doesn't feel like it's thought out very much.
Speaking of silent treatments, you know, couldn't help but notice that this franchise has been built on three pillars, and one of them was not handed a microphone last night. I feel that was a choice, and it really felt like they edited him out of maybe the highlight reel that ran before they gave out the rings. Like, I do think that phasing him towards the background has officially begun.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. He can find a microphone, let me tell you. You know, he found a 25-minute documentary pregame on TNT, I believe. And, you know, he's done a couple press conferences, long ones. He will make his voice heard at any point that he wants to. But, I mean, in general, yeah, I have never felt as much of a just kind of separation between Draymond and the Warriors than this moment. But again, both sides are saying, like, hey, look, we're trying to win a title. And we all know, like, you know, if a title is won, if a playoff run happens and Draymond Green is is awesome in it. We're going to be talking plenty about that and probably wanting to interview him post-game after he shuts down Jokic in a big win in Denver or something like that. So circumstances can change is all I'd say, but they are a little odd right now.
Change the subject a bit. The Lakers looked not even standard awful last night. They looked hopeless. Yeah. Is this going to be the year that maybe it will remind you of Kobe Bryant's last year, where it's just sort of, you know, trying to avoid having Kobe get blamed for the fact that the Lakers stink? Could that be the situation with LeBron James as well? Is it that bad?
Well, Kobe's last year, you know, he'd already had the Achilles injury, and you could tell, like, he wasn't good. I mean, I don't know what he shot last year. I think it was, like, 30 percentile. I think they were, like, a 17-win team. Like, they were ahead. I think they had the worst record in the league. I don't think the Lakers are heading down that path, number one. Two, well, I mean, LeBron, what did he finish with last night? I think he was, like, 31-14-8 or something.
Yeah,
like,
that's exactly what he had.
Yeah, he was good. You know, like, Kobe wasn't putting up 31-14-8 in that final Lakers season. But I mean, to your general point, it feels like I'm not going to call this LeBron's prime because I think he's past that, but you know, regardless, he still looks like a player good enough to, you know, if he was on a correctly constructed team, he could be a contender. That's just not what this team is. They're not correctly constructed. You hear him last night post game. We don't got shooting. I mean, basically he came out and said that, and Westbrook's already kind of grumbling about this idea of him coming off the bench. It's a bad situation. And you know, I would look more up top and at the front office at Rob Pelinka, who just got a contract extension, and the way they have either built the team or, I guess, coalesced to clutch his needs, or, you know, however that dynamic has worked. But this is two straight years. They've just really assembled a poor roster below their top two.
Anthony Slater here on 95.7 The Game. What is your instant assessment of our, you know, let's call it our real first look at James Wiseman?
Good. You know, he's more patient. He's calmer out there, right? You know, how many times his rookie year did it? You could feel the nervousness through the screen, or just like the frenetic nature of the way he was. You know, if he got the ball, I got to get to the hoop. I got to get a shot up.
Right. What's the old John Wooden is, be quick, but don't hurry. He was hurrying.
Yeah. Yeah, and then one mistake in the head dropped, right? It was like, if he made one mistake, it would snowball on him, because, you know, I think he was like already wanting to be superstar James Wiseman. I think there's more maturity within his game, and he's seeing the floor better. I mean, I'm going back to preseason more than maybe last night, but he made a few passes out of the high post into some like Warriors like split action that, as a rookie, like, he just, I don't think he could have comprehended the idea of that. So maybe watching Looney, I think listening to Dejan, and just, you know, gaining two more years of life experience has helped him. And we've never doubted the raw tools. And if he's just a little bit sharper out there mentally, the raw tools give him a chance to explode. The other thing I'd say is I think they're just using him smarter than they did as a rookie. You know, pick and rolls with Jordan Poole. I mean, Steve Kerr's being pretty transparent about that. That is the identity of the second unit. And it looked really good last night, and Jordan Poole's passing looked really good, which I think helped James Harden.
After years of begging for more pick and roll, how has Steve Kerr found pick and roll Jesus?
By drafting a modern center, which, you know, I don't think Steve Kerr was, you know, at the top of the draft office demanding that's the personnel. But, you know, he's showing an ability to adjust, which his one of his coaching mentors, Greg Popovich, would always adjust to his personnel year to year. And this is who James Wiseman should be. He should not be Andrew Bogut. He should not be David West. That's not the type of player he is. He is a modern pick-and-roll diving center, and that's how he's being used.
Do the Warriors, when you talk to them about him specifically, do they point to any particular event or epiphany that sort of when he finally got it, when the light bulb went on? Or has this just been a slow, agonizing, gradual process?
It's been very slow, and really, you know, it hasn't been like gradual. It's been like empty for about a year and a half. When he was like, you know, continually rehabbing a knee that just wouldn't get right, and every time he did any level of contact last year, it would swell up, and he needed to get, you know, a scope in January, or I think it was in December, that shut him down for a little bit. And then he had to go over to Europe and get a treatment. Like, there was no way to ask them how he'd been looking behind the scenes, because he wasn't doing anything that would allow them to judge that. And it was tough for him to get better, where summer league, he looked like the rookie, and it honestly, you know, there were times where I was watching him in summer league concerned, like, I'm not sure he's going to be ready to be a backup center on a winning NBA team. But where you started to hear some more optimism was he spent 6 weeks, basically the 6 weeks before training camp, in the Warriors practice facility, scrimmaging every day. They said he was like the most present player of anybody in every scrimmage he could get in. And by the end of that, you started to hear, like, you know, the rhythm's getting there, the touch is getting there. There's like the belief that, hey, he's not going to, you know, become Joel Embiid in year three, but they're like, I think he's going to have a pretty good year.
Challengers to the throne, Anthony Slater. Out of the Western Conference, I got 4.5 teams.
Who's your half?
The Suns. I got the Suns on wait-and-see status. Chris Paul, a lot of just weird stuff happening around Phoenix. I think that they have maybe missed their gonna-win-a-championship window, and that's the price you pay for losing to Luka last year. But my 4.5 teams are the Clippers, the Grizzlies, the Mavericks, the Nuggets, and maybe the Suns. And out of the Eastern Conference, it's 4. The Bucks, the Nets, the Celtics, the Sixers. Have I missed anyone?
What do you think of the Wolves? I mean, like, it's a really weird fit, but I'm intrigued.
If a young team can show me they can eliminate the worst of last year and emphasize the best of last year, I mean, that's the step forward that all ascending teams are trying to take. If they can really do that, yeah, maybe. But I could also see, you know, Cat and Rudy Gobert not really fitting together, and they get buried in Twin Tower ball and getting three-pointed right out of the, you know, playoffs.
Yeah. Hey, were the Nuggets among your group?
Yes.
In the West?
Yes. Okay. A healthy Nugget team.
I think fully healthy. If the Warriors are fully healthy, I think the only fully healthy team that I would see giving them a real fight in a series, at least at this point, is the Clippers. I think they're built well to defend them. Just a bunch of wings. They have the same ownership advantage that the Warriors have, which is they will spend an absurd amount that gets them extra depth. It's why they have Norm Powell, just like that's why the Warriors have Andrew Wiggins. So I like the Clippers. And then out east, did you group the Nets in there?
I got the Nets. Yep.
Okay. What was it? It was Nets,
Bucks, Nets, Sixers. Celtics, Sixers.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, by NBA standards, that's a pretty big group of contenders, though, right?
It is.
This is seasons we've gone in where there's like three contenders, or the Durant Warriors era, it was kind of just one contender.
Just give them the ring. Just, yeah, like, yeah. Kobe Lakers, Shaq Lakers at their peak. Just give them the ring.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think it's got a chance to be a good season.
Since they're playing them in a couple of days, break down the Nuggets, how real they are, how illusory they are.
Yeah, there's nothing I saw from that Nuggets preseason game where I was like, you know, shocked. But I remember when they put out their starting lineup, and you knew Jamal Murray wasn't playing because he had a little hamstring injury. But I saw their starting lineup, and I was like, okay, like no point guard. And they went with Caldwell Pope, Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter, Nikola Jokic. And I'm like, all right, that feels much more formidable as a Warriors playoff opponent lineup than anything we saw the Nuggets throw on the floor in that first round series last year. So I just like the way Caldwell Pope and Bruce Brown fit in a playoff environment. It's what Jokic needs around him. So I think they've kind of beefed up that middle of the rotation, but now the big question becomes their second and third best players coming off massive injuries, which is obviously Murray, who, you know, we haven't seen him much, and it sounded like the late stages of his ACL rehab were a bit complicated, and now he has a little hamstring issue, so I need to see him string together a bunch of games before I believe he's ready to be that, like, you know, number two. And then Porter, I've kind of been a Porter doubter over the years. You have to have major concerns about his back, but he was pretty good in that preseason game. He did look good against the Warriors.
Always good to talk to you, Slater. What'd you think of the rings? All said and done, those are kind of spectacular.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's got covered them long enough. They just kind of start to blend together to me. I mean, were they more spectacular than the previous rings? I mean, they were glistening. I saw Clay's in the locker room.
I like the fact that they had the little slider that revealed how many Larrys each player had actually won. Like, that's pretty cool. I like that element. Not everyone's ring is totally the same, except for these three guys who got the 4. You know, Jordan, you only reveal the 1 trophy. Like, that's pretty cool.
NBA gluttony. And now I'm on my way to watch the Sacramento Kings trying to break a 16-year playoff drought. So very different ends of the NBA spectrum.
I think they could do it. I think they could maybe do it. We'll have to see, though. Who's got COVID and is out tonight?
Nobody, but Keegan Murray got out of protocol, so he no longer has COVID, but he's not playing tonight, so he's not going to play till Saturday. But he might play. I should play Sunday in Chase, which would be good.
That stinks.
What are the odds that when you see Mike Brown, he's going to, the first sentence that comes out of his mouth is, what the hell are you doing here?
Good question. We'll see tonight. I don't know. I'll tell you in about an hour. But hopefully he's a little bit more locked in on these Portland Trailblazers. This is a big opener because that's, you know, we talk about the Kings maybe breaking the streak. Like, Portland's maybe their biggest, you know, competitor for that 10 spot.
Yeah. No, it's going to be all the fun you can have in an NBA game tonight at Golden 1. And Anthony Slater will be there to cover it all. Great to talk to you, pal. Thank you so much. And I'll see you Friday.
Yeah. All right, fellas.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.